This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court. Feels like it's been a minute since we've done one of these.
Yeah, there's some cobwebs in the corner of the court.
It's been a month, I guess.
Dust on my desk.
Real normal stuff. But I feel like I say this every time. It's just kind of my thing. We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy.
Murphy's just walking through the corridors of time, so confused. Has it been a long time? Has it been no time at all?
I don't know. Well, sometimes we bulk record and sometimes we just do it right before it comes out. And this is one of those times where we do it right before it comes out.
My dude is Rip Van Winkling all the damn time.
Yeah, I'll hold up a freaking newspaper. You guys can see what day it is on audio. I'm Supreme Crit Justice Murphy, joined by Tanner and Axford. And then, of course, the lowly.
Keep lowly.
Nice.
Bailiff
Durst style.
Fred Durst is here with us in studio.
Supreme Durst. Yeah, we got him.
Bailiff Jake, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And let's get right into it. Hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding.
Hi.
Hello.
Our first case comes from Peace K. Peace K writes, illustrious judges, and I think it was Jason.
That's fun.
Jake Durst.
It's Jason. Fred Durst. Yes, it's Fred.
Whoa.
It's Fred's brother, Jake.
Can you imagine?
He wears a blue hat.
Durst.
Yeah, I didn't tell anybody, but I am Fred Durst's little brother.
Wow.
I bring the case of the unsatisfying Deus Ex Machina.
Mm.
Okay.
I played a full campaign with my family during lockdown, and it was our final battle with the BBEG.
Whoa.
It was my first time DMing and their first time playing. Needless to say, I whomped my whole family and accidentally killed everyone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little fun. That's a memory.
Yeah. I tried to narrate a scene where the paladin could attempt something akin to a cleric's divine intervention, but after so many fails, I was at a loss at what to do.
Oh.
Everyone was very tired and starting to get uninterested in the battle, and I got the sense they were upset they all died. I eventually fumbled and narrated a sloppy Deus Ex Machina where the dead clerics saved their lives from the lands beyond, but I never forgave myself for the terribly executed ending. I come to you now with my query. Should I have just let the TPK stand and added a couple more sessions to loop it around to a more satisfying conclusion? Mm. Or should I have found a better way to deal with it? I humbly fling myself at the mercy of the court.
Okay,
wow.
I got to start off immediately and say you do need to forgive yourself.
Yes, yeah. This is
just a little confessional.
This is kind of Dice Christ confessional adjacent for sure.
You deserve forgiveness.
Yeah, you deserve
from
to
yourself.
Be
not
able to live your life.
Not necessarily from your family, but from yourself for sure.
Yeah. TTRPGs tore families apart during the pandemic, huh? We've been getting a lot of these. Just like, I was running a game for my mom. And she freaked out.
The fact that you're planning anything for your parents is very impressive. I feel like my family's been trying to plan a family trip for like going on 10 years now, and it's just not coming together.
And you guys so haven't
like,
seen each other since.
Yeah, exactly.
It's tough. It's tough.
My mom is so happy when I call her on the phone. We'll talk for 5 minutes, and as we're getting off, she'll be like, thanks for calling. Really, thank you for calling.
Yeah.
So the idea that like you would run, I don't know if your mom is necessarily in this, but like running something for your family is so much harder than just calling. You're a very good relative.
I can't picture a world where your mom texts you afterwards to say, I was really disappointed in how the narrative turned out.
That being said, it does sound like a bullshit Deus Ex Machina. Can we all be honest?
Your mom texting you being like, Deus Ex Machina earned?
She posts the Kermit sipping tea meme. Fuck, the chat's going off.
I think you could have just gone with the TPK and then had them, I don't know, you almost do like a Dragon Ball Z, you have like an adventure in the afterlife and you can have them come back, you do that, and then you have them fight the BBEG again, because there are people that are like very rules purists and they're just like, just go for the TPK and let them all be dead and stuff. It's just like, you're playing with your grandma and like you're playing with your family. It's fine, you're figuring it out. I definitely would recommend in the future just kind of going with the story thing. I was like, okay, accidentally whomped them too hard, now the adventure becomes that was my plan all along. Now they're on some other plane and they need to get back.
Would you say like give yourself a session, you know, like don't try to write it as it's all happening, because then it can look a little sloppy.
Yeah.
You know, just like,
just call a timeout.
The next session can pick up.
Yeah.
Call the timeout.
Here's my question though. Were there cues before you found yourself at the TPK that you could have maybe paid attention to a little earlier?
I've had it happen before, though, when you're starting DMing and you realize that you fucked up when you're like, okay, and the monster hits you for, get this, 40 damage. And they're like, that's all of my HP plus 20, and I'm dead. You're like, oh, no, I was just trying to scare you.
Well, because you want like the tension to build a little bit. Like you want one or two people to go down, but like when that tide shifts, sometimes like everything is already in place and it's hard to shift gears.
I'm gonna say, for my DMing for the first time for my family, I want no one to go down. I want that first session to be them winning, experiencing.
Well, it sounds like they played a while because there was a BBEG. You don't have a BBEG in like a one session. Shot. I don't think so, right? It sounds like they were running stuff during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. They say I played a full campaign.
Yeah.
Okay. I take it back. So they were playing a while. This was a one shot.
You know what? Let this be a lesson to us all.
You can't kill your family during a one shot.
No. Yeah.
You can kill them at the end of a campaign. Here's what I'll say. Let this be a lesson to us all. Never decide what the actual final session is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then you put too much pressure on yourself. Mm-hmm. Always leave it open that it's like, you're going to wind down and maybe it'll take two sessions. Maybe it'll take three. And that allows you that you don't feel this pressure where you're sitting there being like, the cleric saves you, brings you all back to life. You wouldn't have had that pressure. You would have just been like, cool, I'll plan something for next session.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Relish it a little more. Be like, yeah, and that's 40 hit points. And if I'm not mistaken, Ellen, you're fucking dead. Yeah.
Okay, Grandma, you're a wizard, so I know you don't have a lot of HP, and I know you forgot to cast Mage Armor. We're not going to say that you did it before battle. You got to use an action to do that. So your AC's what, 10? Huh?
Yeah, now that this isn't one session, one shot, which is what I originally thought it was, I'm like, go brutal.
You can kill your grandma's character.
And be like, I did want to play hockey as a kid, Mom, and you wouldn't let me.
Maybe if you chilled out for the pads and the skates,
you'd still be standing.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we're all, I mean, even though the DM wrote in and was essentially confessing to a crime.
I like this style of court case, though, where the person is like, I'm guilty, but like, is it okay if I did it?
Yeah. Okay, so what if this person didn't want to reveal that they needed a timeout, right?
Okay.
Could they have, in that moment, they're thinking, fuck, I'm going to need to do a Deus Ex Machina. Could you just really confidently to the family with like an absolute shit-eating grin on your face be like, you know what? Everyone grab a little something to eat because some shit's gonna go down.
Yeah.
And then while they grab food, you panic sweating. And come up with how you're gonna make this work.
Basically lie to your family.
So then if you just like make it seem like it was planned, then you buy yourself time that you don't do a panicked Deus Ex Machina, right? Because that is, of course, in the moment, if you don't give yourself like a minute to take a deep breath, you will do precisely what you did.
Yeah. So we do unfortunately have to punish you because we do agree with you that you were wrong.
Yeah.
It feels hard to punish someone who like came to us asking for a punishment.
Well, I think you text your family in super D&D speak that your family's not going to understand, and you really over the top apologize for the Deus Ex Machina. So grandma, I'm really sorry for that absolute terrible narrative bailout. That was a cop out.
It's okay, but you should feel bad, honey. It was metagaming at its finest.
Yeah. Okay, so ordered, you're sentenced to send a giant block of text to your parents and your grandma.
Yeah,
gorgeous.
Yeah,
go ahead and send a giant block of banana bread their way too.
Kind of a dramatic one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think just like for fun,
a
just
dramatic
like a nice little...
banana bread.
No, I meant dramatic text, but we can say dramatic banana bread. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm actually going to fully.
How do you make
fully...
a banana bread dramatic?
That's it.
What do you think?
Maybe with like coconut milk instead of regular milk.
Wow.
Okay. Honestly, sounds great.
Oh, you know
what
you do?
It sounds like assertive.
You send a note with it.
Great.
That says, I tried my best, but I know that wasn't good enough, ...
Oh, you could be like, I've been a blockhead, so here's a banana block.
I've been an absolute loaf lately.
I tried my best, but I know it wasn't good enough. Like, sounds like it could be about the banana bread. More than
yes. Just add the dot, dot, dot.
So they might not even know what you're apologizing for.
You unfortunately have to start a family feud is the thing. So just really dramatic.
I'm sick of loafing around. It's time to admit I've been bananas.
That's great. Cryptic, dramatic yes. banana bread. You don't know what you're apologizing for.
A pun about how you've been off a little bit with your DMing. That like, has to do with bananas. Something yeah, about great. Loafing.
Okay, so a cryptic, mm-hmm. a cryptic yeah. banana bread themed apology
slash pun.
Like pun, banana slash bread pun.
A punnage.
Yeah, great. A punnage with a.
A
homemade,
pun in a pan.
Yeah. Homemade dramatic banana bread.
Yeah, and the the bread, it's dramatic because
you know
you
what could also
milk.
Make it dramatic?
Yeah.
Is a little chocolate drizzle.
Oh my God, whoa. It's so dramatic.
That's like verging into sexy, though, I think.
Dramatic can be sexy. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Tension. Half drizzled, the other half undrizzled. Why did he stop?
Okay, so the DM's got to send banana bread.
Banana bread and an apology.
Yeah.
A pun laden apology.
We figured it out. And I think we've got our theme for the episode.
I'm really into this because I do love banana bread, especially
it's
with
so
chocolate.
Good.
The only problem with banana bread is you can't croissant someone with banana bread because it's too heavy.
I love some banana bread from, yeah. You know what? Actually, it's been kind of ruined by like the calorie counter thing because then you look at the banana bread and it's like 500 calories for like a little slice and you're like, you know, as much as I enjoy banana bread, I think I'd rather have four donuts than a
dense.
Single piece
it's very
of
dense.
Bread.
Where are you getting donuts that are 125 calories?
I was
those are
exaggerating
bad donuts.
For comedic effect.
Oh,
no,
I'm sorry.
Explain.
I didn't understand.
No, but they're also, they're like, I don't know, like a regular donut's probably like 250 mm-hmm. calories or something. I think Starbucks donuts are less calories than like the banana bread.
Sure. But like the thing with banana bread is you can like sneak a bunch of stuff in there and it still tastes pretty good. Like, you can put a little zucchini in your
yeah,
banana bread.
Yeah, I was
sure.
say, zucchini.
Yeah.
I do like a
yeah,
zucchini
but why bother?
Bread.
Why bother? That's another thing. That's like throwing vegetables on your pizza. It's like you're already eating a bad thing. It doesn't help.
The
to,
thing
like,
is, though, right. like, what if you buy too many bananas and your bananas are going bad and then you just bake those into banana bread? You feel like you are some sort of ecological hero.
Right.
You're like, mm-hmm. I have wasted nothing. Everything yeah. has come in.
And you are.
Everything is gone.
You
out.
Are a hero. I get, especially if you add yeah. chocolate to it, but
I,
not zucchini.
I got nothing against banana bread. I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. If you see yeah. someone, if someone bakes you a loaf of banana bread, you know they had bad bananas and yeah. they thought of you.
That's a really good card. I had bad bananas and I thought of you and it made me think of you.
I had some perfect. Shit bananas on my counter and I thought, I know who wants these, but in a slightly better form.
I'm going to go on the record and say I don't eat bananas. Okay, next question.
You can't.
Do not elaborate.
You can't.
Don't elaborate. Keep moving. No.
That's awesome.
That's
can
awesome.
We can we end every single case with like a really weird Emily fact that we can't explore?
Crazy Emily yeah. take that we just have to power through.
I have 12 follow-ups. Let's continue.
Yeah, her just being like, I don't like water or something, and then we just have to keep going.
No follow-ups.
Doesn't
next
like bananas.
Case, this one comes from Jeremy Yu.
Great.
Jeremy writes.
I actually had a really bad experience with water recently. Go on.
No more questions.
I've been torn apart.
What is a bad experience with water? Did you almost drown?
She doesn't need to answer that. We need to keep the show.
Yeah, yeah, we, yeah, to we need moving. To keep going.
Objection. Baiting.
Distracting the witness.
Objection. Bad take.
Not even bad. Weird.
Yeah, weird take.
Save it for the end.
Okay, Jeremy Yu writes, to the most honorable justices and the host exalted bailiff, I should say.
Whoa.
Okay.
That's a pan of a pun. That's a banana bread pun pan right there.
Well, we are hosts and we could exalt Jake at any point.
Yeah. Shall we?
You guys could actually reinstate me in Boston.
Oh,
great for me. Just
we'll do it for.
I live so close.
For 10 minutes, you're reinstated in Boston.
I think
we can
the
get
fact
there.
That you live so close is what makes uh-huh. it be like, do we trust you?
Yeah, you're going to go out and pass a bunch of weird D&D laws.
You can just hop on an Amtrak.
The city
dude.
Of yeah, Boston is going to be practicing a D&D unrecognizable to anyone else.
Yeah.
J.E. Jake edition.
There's a loophole right now. I'm texting my barrister in Boston to push a lot of things through. Okay, I present the case of the accidentally bloodthirsty DM.
Cool.
Currently, I am running a campaign with some friends from work. Before the first session, I made sure my players knew that while I wouldn't actively try to kill their characters could die. Mm-hmm. They told me they understood. In the first session, one of the rogues failed their death saves after some really unfortunate rolls. A fail and a crit fail. He was a new player, so I feel bad he died in the first fight, but he said he understood the rules and was cool about it.
Okay.
The next session comes around, and another player gets separated from the party and encounters some muggers. I tried to give him an out, saying they just wanted his money, but he chose to fight. Mm. He rolled poorly on his initiative. Then he goes down after the first two guys miss him. Mm-hmm. I tried to be merciful and said they just knocked him out, but he insisted he do death saves. He succeeded on the first two, then got a fail. His final roll was a critical fail. Yep. He died right there.
Perfect.
Now okay. my players think I'm out to get them. Mm-hmm. Should I be more insistent with the non-lethal damage, or was I right to kill my players? I await your sound rulings and whatever punishment you feel I deserve.
I have a thought, which is that you have players who want to separate from the group. I think that you need to brainstorm consequences that aren't death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like they already did it. I think you could have. I think this DM knows that they've said as much. They've been like, should I have been more insistent on the non-lethal damage? I think so. Like, if, you know, a lot of bandits are just probably going to murder people, but there probably are other ones that you could just be like, no, these guys specifically don't want to kill you. They don't want to get in that much trouble if they're caught. They don't want huge bounties on their head. They're just going to knock you out and take your money.
This person wanted to roll those death saves.
Yeah.
So I think you did the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wanted their character to maybe die, and then their character died.
You did the standard DM, are you sure? And you just like paused and stared directly in their eyes.
Anytime you do the verbal wink,
mm-hmm.
the are you mm-hmm. sure, they should know by then.
Murph, if I begged to roll death saves like out of combat,
uh-huh.
would you let
I would say please for the sake of the show.
What if Saul said a joke that was so funny that I was like
Calliope
would
die.
Can I roll death saves because I might choke on my laughter?
Stop, you're pissing your pants so much that you're becoming dehydrated.
Murph, I need to roll death saves.
I would say no.
I'm sorry for loafing around. I was being bananas.
Fuck, I need to roll a disadvantage now. That was good.
Callie is dead. It also sounds like they might just be razzing you. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. just kind of like, oh, you're the hard-ass DM.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that there is, after one character died, the other character went off, was attacked by bandits, and they're like, just give me your money. And they're just like, I try to kill them.
They have a death wish.
Yeah, maybe they thought it was kind of exciting mm-hmm. having a character die, and they're chasing that. Maybe they're not very precious about the characters, and they're more interested in cycling through characters that die.
Do you think, are they a flatliner? They're just like chasing that rush of like hitting that nat fail?
I think you got a bunch of fucking flatliners in your party, and I'm going to sentence you guys to watch Flatliners together. Is that a movie?
Okay. Yeah, it's a movie.
I don't know what that is.
I think it's a movie. Don't quote me on this because I haven't seen it. I've just seen the box art.
Cool.
But I think it's a movie where people like purposefully put themselves on the edge of death and then they like see a ghost or like start to be able to see ghosts or something because they've like flatlined so many times.
It sounds like that's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can they still enjoy banana bread?
I think it turns to ash in their mouth, actually. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Okay. Oh my God. Well, you know, some of us don't like bananas for a reason.
Save it for short rest.
Save it.
There's going to be an investigation.
Can I see ghosts?
The players here, they're the ones that rolled the nat once.
Yeah.
Each of them had a critical death save fail. So you didn't actually kill them.
This is a lesson to all DMs, myself included. Mm-hmm. I've done this before in home games, and DMs always think it's logical of like having bad guys that are just be like, just give me your stuff and you can go.
Yeah.
No one ever says yes. You can literally be like, there are four Tarasks.
Yeah.
They somehow know the common tongue. They're speaking to you. They say, hello, little level one. Please give me your rusty, stupid sword that sucks.
That's
and
really
the level
fun.
One will fight the four Tarasks.
That is totally true because in real life, a lot of times, most times you would just be like, okay, take my stuff. I'm sorry.
Right. But this fantasy.
But this is fantasy. You get to stand up for yourself in a way that you would never would on the streets.
Yeah. So I would say you did.
I'm picturing the Tarrasque wearing a little mask over its face. You can't see who it is.
Give me your iPhone. We need iPhones. Tarasks need iPhones.
You don't understand. Everywhere I go, I destroy buildings. Yeah. I'm doing some home reno.
I need to call people.
I break so many phones.
I break shit when I try to visit, would just try to knock on my friend's doors.
Every time I answer my phone, I break it.
I sat on my freaking Android.
So I would say you didn't do anything wrong there, but I would just say for any DMs at home, no one ever stops.
That is true, but also if anyone tries to mug people with Tarasks, please let us know.
Let's test this theory out. No one has ever backed down from bandits before, but maybe they'll back down from a Tarask.
But the Tarask, the Tarask does need to have a tiny dagger taped to its foot.
Yeah.
Just like fumbling too big. Yeah, the Tarask is super nervous. No finesse whatsoever.
I'll stab you, dude.
I'm not afraid.
Give me your 4 starting gold.
Never. No quick moves.
Never. Also, it's session 2, so what did this character have on them that was that great?
Well, yeah. I think
like, just go kill a single dude and you'll get like the staff back or whatever you had.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they had like a commemorative cup from the tavern they started in.
Yeah, you get that like chest.
Okay, but think
set.
About how Whoa. Sentimental you feel about the stuff that you acquire early
later,
in the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
This
is session 2, I think.
Right, but they might have gotten something in session 1 that they were super psyched about.
Well, what happens in session 1? You just build your inventory. You like just went through all of the stuff. You just picked out
it's fresh in your mind.
The first time. That's when you know the most about what's on you.
Like if somebody tried to take Beverly's signet ring that he had from his noble background.
And it was so fucking quintessential for the campaign.
I mean, I feel like I'm always like, hey, Zia, can I take a vial of mud? And they're always like, sure, I guess, Emily. And then next time I sit down and I see vial of mud on my thing and I'm like, this is awesome.
Up comes
this
a Tarask.
Everything to me.
Well,
Moonshine, give me your mud.
Never! So many adventurers willing to die for their starting equipment.
You don't understand what the file of mud
means. And the boogers they took off a goblin.
No!
No!
I have a grappling hook.
I have bugbear hair and a chest set. I'll die.
I have a vague idea that I could use it as a spell component someday.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I haven't figured out D&D yet. I think everything's a spell component.
I'm going to use this toilet paper I stole from the tavern to TP someone later.
Cool.
Guys, they're getting away with our rope.
You have 8 HP. The bandits roll. 1 crits and you're dead. You're just dead.
Can we punish this person to just commit to the bit and try and kill this player another time?
Yeah, I think the DM is doing good. Yeah. I think we're on the DM's side.
I don't even know who to punish in this situation. Because it's like the players are doing what they're excited about. The DM is...
Or do we punish the DM because they weren't confident enough in their non-lethal damage thing, right?
They didn't razz back. I think that's the big... They're getting razzed and they have to razz back.
You need to be mean.
That's true. Yeah, be mean to your friends.
We get them a loaf of raspberry banana bread.
Oh,
okay.
There's a Flatliners DVD baked in the middle.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, you just do, regular banana bread. Secretly, there's so many raspberries inside.
Okay, you show up to your friend's house and you're like, guys, we're not playing D&D tonight. Aw. Instead, we're doing this. You put a loaf of banana bread on the table.
Yeah.
They're disappointed until they cut in, starting at the center, because that's how you
cut
a good loaf.
That's how you cut banana bread, of course.
Yeah. You have to cut it like a deck of cards.
And right before you shuffle the bread.
Right before you shuffle the bread, everyone
crack it open.
Crack open the bread, reveal the Flatliners DVD question mark.
What? Wait, we're back? I thought we were with raspberries.
They're both. They're both in there.
What does the DVD have to do with this?
The raspberries are a smokescreen.
Great. Okay.
It's part of what they're doing for the night.
Okay, right, because they're flatlining. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
You can do it with bad bananas and you can do it with bad movies. It's the same concept.
And so there's raspberries and you say, hey gang, you've been razzing me, I just wanted to razz you back, you flatliners. You've already cut through the DVD with a knife.
We're setting them up for something entirely new to be razzed about.
And you should be sure to have like a big seed in your teeth as you're delivering your statement.
Like
you're
already
your high effort bit that destroyed a DVD.
a really high effort bit that like is clearly scripted, like stumble through the line as if you rehearsed it.
Yeah.
can we just play Catan?
Exactly what we just said there. Yeah.
I think that raspberry zucchini bread would be good personally.
Okay.
Yeah.
So ordered and move on. No follow up questions.
Yeah, let's move on. Yeah. I don't even know whose side we were fully on there. I think
it's okay.
I think the players were wrong to ask to roll death saves, but you are correct. Okay.
They're having fun.
Yeah. You are correct in that you gave them outs.
You could have had a heavier hand if you wanted to, but I think that
we're
no harm, no foul. Everyone's
we're on your
fun.
Side, and ultimately we're ruling against the players because they're the ones on the end of this hilarious practical joke featuring a DVD and raspberry sauce, raspberry jam inside of banana bread.
Yeah.
Ooh, swirling around the DVD.
So much.
Swirling around the DVD. That's so hard, I think.
Just shoving this raspberry soaked DVD into your PS4.
Yeah.
Picturing someone on a baking show cutting their bread and
just shards of DVD.
Revealing a perfectly suspended DVD.
Just Noel Fielding looking so fucking confused.
Yeah. Doesn't even know how to make a joke about it. There's just a shards of DVD as they cut through it.
It's a DVD.
Do not eat that. Do not eat that.
Paul Hollywood choking.
He ate a DVD. Paul, no, it's a joke. He's bleeding. No,
it's good proof.
Okay, so I think that this was all really clear.
We got it.
Airtight.
It's
so
up.
Ordered.
Yeah.
It's all above board.
It's all above board for sure.
Just a reminder for everyone, we are going to ask Emily about the banana thing, but not till the short rest.
Yeah.
So just hold that.
Yeah.
And
hold
I'm also going to go there. I'm also going to not answer.
She's not going to answer.
Yeah.
We're gonna ask, though.
Tune into the short rest for an Emily interview where she is allowed to plead the fifth on everything.
She's going to stonewall us.
Yeah. I will be nothing but fives.
Nothing but fives?
Nothing but fives, baby.
The next case comes from Maria N. Maria writes, to the venerated justices and also bailiff Jake. That cuts me a little bit because it's not even an adjective. It's just
like,
also
like biting into a DVD.
Yeah, that hurts all the way down and coming out. My first game with this group at level 14, I introduced my Circle of Stars druid and hit a clump of baddies with reverse gravity.
Ooh.
When I dropped the spell, I expected the floating dudes to plummet and take falling damage as the spell explicitly states.
Mm-hmm.
The DM ruled that they just safely fell to the ground over a couple of rounds, not because of featherfall or anything like that, but because that's legit how they thought the spell worked.
Oh.
I tried to argue how the spell actually works, and we go back and forth a couple of times, but I ended up conceding because he's the DM at the end of the day.
Okay.
I ended up just not using that spell after that, but this isn't even what I'm actually salty about.
Whoa.
Fast forward like 2 years, we are all clumped up like goofs, and one of our enemies uses reverse gravity.
No.
I'm thinking the DM is going to rule it the same way, but lo and behold, he uses the spell as written. That part was in all caps. In the moment, I did ask him about it in a very what-the-fuck way, but dropped it once he answered that that's how the spell works.
Yeah.
I'd love to know I could actually use this dope-ass spell when he made up his mind about ruling it as written, and I'm still salty that I only found out when it was used on my character.
Yeah.
Highest court in the land, am I justified in letting this salt linger?
Yes.
I don't bring it up, and it doesn't really impact anything, but sometimes it just comes to mind, and I sit there in a big old tub of salt.
No,
look,
you know what?
I'm reading a book about salt, and salt is the shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Like about, I'm salty all the time.
Yeah.
I just sit there and get mad about stuff.
You can drizzle salt on banana bread, and that's actually really tasty.
Salt on there?
Some Malden flakes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what. Yeah, I think we're already against this DM. Mm-hmm. Just fill a freaking DVD case with salt. Say I got
that's
you.
Not that much salt.
I got you flatliners, and then they open it, and there's no DVD inside. It's just salt.
Oh, that's awesome. And then you'll ruin their DVD player because they'll try to put it in. They'll salt their own DVD player.
Yeah,
because
they'll try to put it in.
Oh, yeah, you like freeze the salt.
Wow.
Yes.
Right, you harden the salt.
You know what I mean? What do we do? We like glue the salt together?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
You
in the form of a DVD?
Well, you could.
You're going to want to use some kind of adhesive.
Yeah. so you can put water in the salt. Oh, wait, no, you
okay,
can't.
You take, okay, we find like an absolutely slamming
super glue,
DVD.
Super glue.
We get great. Fight Club DVD. We say, hey, I know you haven't seen Fight Club. It's only been like 25 years or
it's
whatever.
Pretty good, though.
You coat, you do like, you're making a margarita, like the edge of a margarita.
Yeah.
You just dip the DVD in salt.
In super glue? In salt. Super glue and then
super
salt.
Super glue and then salt. So you do have to waste the DVD, unfortunately.
You're going
to
rim the DVD.
Yeah, you're going to rim the DVD like it's a margarita.
Like a margarita.
Salted DVD goes into the DVD player.
And
that
most people's
gone.
DVD player is an Xbox or a PlayStation.
Right.
Yeah. So you're going to be ruining something
console's
of high
gone.
Value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know what you're thinking. Should they be using the DVD Salt starring Angelina Jolie? No, they shouldn't. It's way funnier if it's Flatliners.
Yeah. It should be Flatliners or Fight Club.
Actually, it's pretty good if it's Salt.
Oh, if you just keep saying you put Salt in your DVD player, what did you expect? And you just don't laugh. You just keep looking at them and just like every once in a while just kind of nod your head.
Yeah, and you could just be like, oh, that's crazy because it would ruin my DVD, but what you've taught me is that rules work different for different people.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's good.
So normally, you repeat this every 2 years.
Right.
That's
every
how long
2 years.
It lasted.
Say, I wouldn't normally put Salt in my DVD player, but I know that you do things differently, so maybe you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was fine.
Yeah. So I think we're
the rules are different in your house.
Yeah. We're saying that like, you got salted and like just it's okay.
And so they can stay salty.
Yeah.
They can watch you be salty by watching Salt on their DVD player, but not actually being able to watch the movie Salt because the movie Salt is covered in salt and has ruined their DVD player.
There you go.
Perfect. I think going back to like a non-crazy answer, but that sucks. Like there are always misreads in the moment and stuff, but then you have to play it both ways. Like that DM absolutely has to throw that spell out. They have to, if you fuck up that way, the DM needs to be willing to be like, okay, I was wrong and let the player keep using it and definitely not use it themselves if they're going to have a more generous read on their own.
Just seemed like there was no remorse on the DM's part.
It's also weird because by the time you can use reverse gravity, falling damage isn't that big of a deal. Like falling damage is like, Em, do you know how far up reverse gravity can send you?
No, I don't remember. I didn't really use it that much.
But either way, it's just a D6 per 10 feet.
Yeah.
So if you're in a room and let's say like the, you know, ceilings are like 20 or 30 feet high or something like that, like that's 3D6 of damage when you're casting reverse gravity, which is a like higher level spell.
It's a 100-foot high cylinder.
Okay, it can do 10 D6.
That ain't nothing.
But that's not nothing, but that's not much more than like a fireball or something.
No,
but
it's
also a really high level spell. Is it 8th level?
Yeah, it's a 7th level spell.
7th level spell, 10d6 with a 7th level spell.
Come on.
7th level spell with saves and stuff. Yeah.
Come on. Salt is justified.
Yeah, salt that ruined this person's freaking DVD player. we're on your side. We are making you commit like light damaging somebody else's property. Uh-huh. So
right.
Can I have one salt fact, please, Emily?
When people started domesticating animals, that's when salt, like the need for salt became more extreme because animals need salt in their diet. If you're just like farming, then you don't need to give obviously salt to vegetables. But once you're taking care of cattle, they need salt in their diet. So suddenly you need salt for your livestock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need a salt lick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've only read like the first like 20 pages.
That's a pretty good gym for
that's
the first
a lot,
20.
That's a lot to read about salt.
Yeah.
All right. So ordered?
Yeah, so ordered, I think.
Yeah,
so you're going to ruin a DVD player.
Yeah.
And they deserve it. Okay, cool. The next... Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. Which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So, if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
Case comes from Finn H, who does not introduce themselves. They write intro free 2023.
Yes.
Oh, yes, Finn. Wow, Finn. That's
which awesome. Is something we say on the short rest, but mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. We say that and we say okay. Why Emily hates bananas.
No, we ask her about it and she pleads the fifth. A little place called Manjas. Also a reference to the short rest. One time Emily brought up a restaurant and then it was just local to her area and didn't explain what it was or anything about it.
I think you're only allowed to plead the fifth if you eat five bananas afterwards.
No.
Or you hold up five bananas and then throw them
in
the garbage.
She's not going to tell us.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
She says she doesn't eat bananas, but didn't say she doesn't like bananas. Just said, I don't eat them. And we just have to move on and live with that.
Looking into she actually loves them. She stopped eating them because she loves them too much. She wanted to give other fruit.
I watched a movie that really humanized bananas to me.
Minions?
Okay, this is another familial issue, actually.
Ooh, okay.
I DM'd a family online game during lockdown with 6 players.
Wow, TTRPGs tearing families apart.
Grandma wanted to be a paladin with a magical talking sword that controls the weather.
Letter.
Who had a prophecy destiny, etc., etc.
Okay.
I warned her that a level 1 character couldn't live up to this backstory, but she insisted. During the first session, I tried to ground the character in line with the rest to avoid a main character vibe around Grandma by making the sword non-magical, okay. Giving it a goofy voice, and having NPCs act confused when she brought up the prophecy. Whenever I did this, Grandma acted as if she couldn't hear me and continued the conversation as if I hadn't said anything.
That is a person who is done fucking pretending.
Yeah.
This gets so weird. Was I wrong to cancel the campaign after 2 sessions and join a secret revival with only 4 of the 6 original players and not Grandma?
You secretly kicked out your grandmother?
You booted?
P.S. She also said my giant toads, quote, weren't possible as I described them as hopping along the beach, which only frogs do, apparently.
Okay, that's a little bit, that's a little much,
yeah.
Grandma.
We're kind of turning on Grandma here.
Yeah.
What
was the prophecy again? Just walk me,
I don't think,
Just had a prophecy in her backstory.
Just had a prophecy and had a sword.
Had a prophecy.
A sword and a prophecy, some kind of destiny that they didn't go into.
It is true,
but Grandma apparently did.
I might rule against this Grandma.
We're usually pretty pro-Grandma on the pod.
Uh-huh.
But I do think that, maybe there are some, details we're missing out on here. Maybe the Grandma was, really, leaning into the main character thing and was kind of wrecking the sesh.
Don't really know the main character thing. I think that's not really something I would be concerned about, but it does sound like
doesn't know
I gotta say, this grandma, hearing that she was these giant toads aren't possible, I think that's really disruptive. So I actually think that
was
you
an important
were
PS. That was a good PS to include, actually.
Dropping animal facts to undo your monster manual stats is an annoying thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, we've ruled against those people before.
Yeah, and I gotta say, like, usually I rule with grandmas, but yeah. I think this grandma was a problem player. And if four that's the name of this episode, Grandma is a Problem Player. if four of your players are like really having a good time, yeah. like then yeah, like I'm not worried about main character stuff, but I am worried about like kind of like disruptive to the like suspension of disbelief that is playing a fantasy game.
Here's what I will say. I'm gonna defend grandma here for a sec.
Whoa, risky.
Once you're playing in a game with your grandma, assuming based on this, it doesn't sound like she has a ton of TTRPG experience or whatever.
Yeah.
Sounds like she should write a novel.
Or she has too much. If she has too much, edit all this out. Don't listen to a word I say.
She knew about prophecies and paladins, so like she must know something.
I think she just knows about being like the special person in a story.
Sure.
I don't know that she's like a seasoned gamer. But I would say when you're playing with your grandma, maybe you play a little different and maybe you specifically go into it with a game that you're not crazy attached to
yes.
and you kind of accept the grandma shenanigans. You kind of have to take grandma with the good and the bad.
I gotta say, I didn't like the move of she can control the weather.
It was interesting.
I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, Grandma.
Grandma's rubbing you the wrong way.
This grandma isn't working for me.
But
that's what they say in the text thread.
I think we're comparing Grandma to other problem players who, when other problem players do this, but when you look at this from a grandmotherly standpoint.
Yeah, with the grandmother lens.
And you know what? It also might be, I'm a little bit older, so I'm thinking about like if I had played with my grandma, I would have just been like, Grandma, you do whatever the hell
it's
you want.
It's true.
Picturing your grandma pouring a stiff Bailey's and tucking in for 6 hours of D&D.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, grandma, you like, figured out Zoom.
I
want to
control
awesome.
The weather. It's just sure.
Yeah.
We can make that work.
Yeah. I think you were wrong. You were not wrong to start another campaign without grandma, but you were wrong to cancel the existing one with grandma.
Yeah, you should have had the fun.
I think this campaign needs to just be grandma's campaign, and it has to be ongoing.
Yeah, it's just grandma. It's just grandma time.
Grandma and friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, it's grandma and friends campaign.
Up top, you said six players, which is like a lot to juggle as well. So like, I understand like wanting to like cut some players from that so you can focus on everyone else having a good time.
But I
like,
think you did nothing wrong.
Yeah. It's also, it's tough to, because you need to know about the relationships, right? If this is like prime grandma time, if you're like, you don't see your grandma very often, but you're playing D&D with her and that's how you spend grandma time, and then you're just like, she's being a little too much, and then you cut it off.
What'd you say about my toads, grandma?
But if it's a situation where like grandma lives on your street and you guys have dinner together like a couple times a week and stuff, and then it's just like, you don't have to play D&D with grandma, that's fine.
It is true that it's 2023 now, and like younger people have grandmothers, and those grandmothers might know about games. It's 2023, grandmas can be gamers.
You're right. Caldwell's right. 2023, grandmas can definitely be gamers.
And they can min-max their paladins and really fucking wreck your world.
Yeah.
You gotta watch out. They will try to do that. Grandmas are min-maxing out there.
That's true.
Your meemaw's min-maxing. Be careful.
Yeah, this grandma's a problem player. We just have to accept that in 2023.
Grandmas can be gamers.
Yeah.
And you know what else is a problem player? Her DVD player.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Because she's going to want to throw on some Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
And some of her favorite DVDs. And they're just going to be salted to all hell with Himalayan
Pink.
They're just going to
be salted. We're going to salt the rim of Grandma's DVD player. We want to go on the record doing this.
No, I don't know. I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I think you just make banana bread for Grandma.
You make banana bread for Grandma.
Yeah.
But maybe like,
but
I
you
don't
put
know.
Zucchini in there.
Oh.
That's how you, that, because Grandma's getting punished, but you are doling out the punishment and you're going to make her a bad loaf of banana bread.
Just make your grandma some bad banana bread.
Taste healthy.
God, if I took a bite of zucchini banana bread, I would just be like, what did I do to you?
Yeah. There's gonna be zucchini and the banana bread defenders.
I like zucchini and because it makes
bread.
It an everyday loaf.
It's like a nice, I think it adds moisture, but I can't say that for sure. I'm not a baker.
It might. What do you mean by everyday loaf?
Well, like if you make a loaf of banana bread and you got like zucchini and banana in there, like it's certainly not like good
for you. It's not good for you.
It's not good for you. But you can eat it and you can feel a little better about it. Yeah.
Nope,
the zucchini in there.
You can actually feel worse because it's bad for you and it tastes worse.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
dinner, a slice of
pudding,
keep
like
the doctor
broccoli
away
on your pizza and shit is not fucking good for you. None
I
of
think
this stuff
that.
Is good
you
for
gotta
you.
Be like as shallow brained as me, dude. You gotta exist purely in a psychosomatic headspace where things work because you think they work.
I think that works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just lie to your brain.
I think I used to make a zucchini bread that had tahini and chocolate in it.
Zucchini cool. Tahini.
I might just be, they might rhyme, and so I'm making that up. But who knows?
And we will never know.
Another cryptic ending.
Because we're moving on.
We're
just going to keep going.
No follow-up questions. Just a statement of fact.
The defense does have a question about that recipe. Can we maybe get it?
Jake? Moving on?
Moving on.
This is an outrage. We demand the recipe, Your Honor.
So our next case comes from Colm S. Colm writes, to the Honorable Supreme Crit and the bailiff that's in the room, thank you. I present to you the case of the helpful hippo and the elderly elf.
Okay.
I run
okay,
a spell
like
jammer
it.
Campaign where one of my
yes.
players is a GIF
cool.
hippo person,
mm-hmm.
For those who don't know.
Okay.
A GIF gunslinger where he and the party recently defeated an elvish spy who had an elven chain shirt.
Cool.
The GIF looted the shirt and between sessions decided to give it to an elderly alcoholic elf NPC who is a member of the crew.
Cool. Okay.
This NPC's role on the ship is to make alcohol and potions. The problem
okay.
yeah. is the NPC has commoner stats and is no use to the party once a fight breaks out.
Mm-hmm.
There are also multiple other members of the party without magical armor or any armor at all who often get knocked unconscious in combat because of it. This wouldn't be a problem except the GIF doesn't really care about any of the players except
aww.
For the elf NPC.
Uh-huh.
My question is this. Should I have the elf give the armor to another party member even though I know the GIF would be mad that he was going unprotected, or should I let the situation stay as it is even though the armor won't see any use?
So this is the DM asking.
The DM wants to re-gift this
yeah,
armor.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, I think, you
I think it's great.
You don't even need to re-gift it though. First off, good old fashioned, you need a different friend for this gift. Just the idea of them not caring about the other players is
yeah,
like such
a
weird red flag.
A huge red flag right in the middle.
Yeah, I'll say I don't love that. I don't love that right off the bat.
No matter what, this so I don't hippo's like, getting punished.
I don't like this. I don't like this gift for sure. But the other thing I will say is that definitely don't rely on this player to determine like if your other players are having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't like punish your other players for the fact because this one player is unreasonable.
Right. The problem is not that this player gave armor to this one NPC. The problem is that they're not working with the rest of the party.
Yeah.
So you need to I don't know, maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe they're just doing stuff as a joke and it's funny at the table, but other people do need armor. So maybe it's not that much of a red flag. Maybe it's fine. But like, there's no reason why other bad guys can't drop armor that your players can get.
Like, you could just give them other armor.
Yeah.
There's just a make third option here.
Yeah.
Your drunk elf can just like wear a barrel and get plus one AC
but also
from it.
The drunk, they can just have the armor. It's fine. Just different armor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other guys
drop
different armor.
I think Murph is right. Like the only thing I would say is in the future, don't avoid situations because you're worried about upsetting this player because it sounds like that's really unfair to the players who are nicer.
Yeah.
But Murph has like an easy avoid any sort of conflict solution, which is just give the other players
armor.
Working
a gif in the mouth.
Yeah.
Nice. I was waiting for someone to say it.
Finally.
You know what? We took a big break. We all came up with our best gif jokes and we won.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm honored.
We voted on it.
We paid a Swedish think tank $60,000 to come up with that. And Caldwell won the lottery on who got to say it.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Like I was saying, it might not be something that you need to talk to them about if it's just like a couple little like jokey things or something like that, or if this is kind of like a, you know, a little flippant thing. But if they don't care about the party at all, definitely A, consider if you really want to be playing with them, and B, if you are going to play with them, maybe have a chat with them, and C, definitely don't rely on them as like the arbiter of who gets stuff.
And D, fuck up their DVD player.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, you don't even have to, if you want to keep them around, they're not, like, just don't prioritize their feelings.
Yeah.
What do we think about switching it up this time and putting a little sugar on the DVD so that they get ants?
Oh,
wow. And it's the DVD ants.
That is so mean to give someone ants. Yeah.
Give them an ants DVD.
DVD filled with sugar. They'll take it and be like, thanks, man. Scoff. Throw it in the corner. Little do they know.
Doesn't even need to go in the DVD player anywhere. It's fine in their home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just getting ants in their home.
You give them the DVD and you say, I gave you ants. And then like several weeks later, there'll be ants all around their house. And they'll think back on that.
And they'll call the exterminator and be like, help, my apartment is full of ants. And the exterminator will be like, do you mean ants, the DVD? Or do you mean actual ants?
And then you could just throw sugar everywhere all around their house. You don't even just have to do the DVD.
That's
you just have to make sure you gift the DVD. All you need. You're not lying to them when you say you gave them ants.
Also, like, you could just put sugar in your pockets and put a little hole in your pockets and walk around their house.
Sugar trail. Sugar trail around their house.
Make sure you don't wear these pants into your own home.
Yes, no, throw the pants out.
Throw the pants away before you get home.
Yeah, so you're in their laundry.
Yeah,
that's good.
Okay, that's how you do it.
You piss your pants at their house.
Piss your pants.
Like, hey, bud, I pissed.
Ask to do laundry. Ask to borrow a pair of pants so you can wear their pants home.
Yeah, this is airtight.
You show up.
You say, hey, ready to play D&D. Hand over the ants DVD. Say, by the way, I gave you ants.
There it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Then you've got the sugar trail going. As you say, hang on, I think I pissed myself. I have to go to the bathroom and change my underwear and stuff.
But before then, you're pacing a bunch, right? Like you're pacing all over.
Right.
You were like, I was really nervous about giving you that ants DVD. I wasn't sure if you had a DVD or a Blu-ray player. I know that you love physical media.
You're chugging a 2-liter bottle of Gatorade.
Yeah, just to keep it airtight.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. And then when you have to piss, run around the house looking for the bathroom.
Yes,
I really have to piss.
I forgot where it is. I forgot where it is.
Is it here?
And open every
sugar
door.
Sugar all over the place. Good. Then you take your sugar-covered pants, you bury it in their closet.
Yes.
So deep that maybe they won't find it until later, and they'll be like, did I wear sugar pants at some point?
Yeah. Wow. And you might as well piss in them,
and
too.
And then piss in your pants. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have drank all that Gatorade.
Yeah. And your piss is going to be pretty sugary after that anyway.
True.
So this is good.
Yeah.
All right. So the GIF is getting punished.
So the GIF is getting a GIF.
The GIF's getting
ants.
Yeah.
On give DVD, the, but also
give the gift ants.
You got ants.
The clumsiness of saying "I gave you ants" as you actively hand someone something, like the past tense. Also, like, imagine being like, "I gave you banana bread" as you're physically handing it to someone.
Like, yeah, I guess.
Just like an absolute dead-eyed.
Are you from the future?
Yeah.
Just narrating your life a little bit.
You ants.
Okay. So are you guys ready to step into church?
Let's don
I'm feeling called.
Okay. Another rough one this week, sorry to say. Riley C. Riley writes, dear judges, lords, and lady, to the high king bailiff or something.
Okay.
I have a confession for Dice Christ. When it was COVID, I was in a campaign that lasted the whole time on Zoom. And I have to say that I fudged several nat 20s as penance. I have stopped playing D&D altogether to learn from my past crimes. Does the church feel I may be punished more? Or is my time in solitude still ongoing? I leave my sinful soul in the Lord's hands.
I think you stopped playing for selfish reasons because you didn't want to face the guilt.
Oh,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that wasn't in service of Dice Christ. That wasn't in penance. Because you didn't want
to
face your
time
shadow
for me to come
side.
Back and play honestly.
Yeah.
Dice Christ wants us all to play honestly. but Dice Christ does want us to play. Okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you don't play, Dice Christ sheds salty, salty tears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Playing is how we
You made Dice Christ cry. How do you like that?
Yeah. To play in the worst of ways is still joyful to Dice Christ.
Yeah. We would like to give you the gift of play. And by that, is there a movie called Play that you could buy yourself on DVD?
Wait, no. Well, there's Click.
Click.
By Adam Sandler.
Okay. What does that mean?
Press play on the remote. To watch.
That's a little convoluted.
Okay, you know what? Like I'm gonna follow it. I'm on Caldwell's side. We're doing Click.
Let's watch House Party with Kid in Play.
Yeah, that's what I could only think of.
There's a 2019 movie called Play.
Oh, so great. All right.
So, can we get a synopsis?
Yeah, let us know what's up.
Max was 13 when he was offered his first camera. For 25 years, he never stopped filming friends, loves, successes, and failures. From the 90s to the 2000s, this is the portrait of a whole generation that is emerging through its objective.
Okay, wow. So it's like a documentary?
Some Linklater shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, yeah, so you're going to throw that on.
Interesting. Fine.
You need to watch Play.
You're going to watch Play. And while you sit there and you're like, I don't know if this is a documentary.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is derivative. I don't know if this wishes to be Richard Linklater and isn't. Maybe I'd be having more fun if I was playing D&D.
I think what you got to do is, I'm going to put a little twist on that.
Okay.
Is two DVDs will be presented. You're going to be in like a penitence booth. Mm-hmm. There's going to be the Click DVD and the Play DVD. And like, you're not allowed to watch Click.
Oh my God, a fate worse than death to not be allowed to watch Click.
I've for sure Adam never Sandler's seen Click.
I don't know anything about either of these movies. I don't even know anything about Flatliners. I'm just naming movies I've seen posters for.
Yeah, you know what?
It's let's better
just,
that way.
Let's go back to the
yeah, it is
let's
fun.
Go back to the classics.
Uh-huh.
We're going to say, you know, you've been punishing yourself by not playing D&D, but you need to go back and play honestly.
Yeah.
You need to make your comeback.
Go back and play honestly and
you need
maybe
to redeem yourself.
Maybe the true service you could do is DM one session.
Oh, that's good.
Oh.
You could DM and then also make yourself some banana bread full of raspberries.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Razz yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eat some
and a little DVD.
And I can't tell you to put a DVD in your own banana bread.
Put some zucchinis in there, but punch a hole in the middle so it looks like DVDs.
Just put an SD card in there.
Do not do that.
Put one Nintendo Switch cartridge in there.
Don't do this.
Just put Splatoon 2 in there.
None of this should be done.
The Joker's legal team, I just want to say, no one should put DVDs in banana bread.
Splatoon 3 is out. You're not playing 2 anymore.
No one should eat SD cards. We do not endorse eating SD cards. We do not endorse eating DVDs. We do endorse putting salted DVDs in people's DVD players.
Yeah.
Right. That one we were serious about.
I'll take the heat for that one.
That's a prank. There's a legal line.
Yeah, it's true. As long as it's just a prank, bro, it's fine.
Okay.
All right. With that, I think we've solved it.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/natpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. To listen to some bonus cases. We'll be over there. We'll be asking M about her banana stuff. She's
five.
Not going to answer, so just so she knows. Five, just plead the fifth.
Five.
Even a weird way to say
it. I plead the five.
Yeah, plead the five.
I need to hit you with a five.
Yeah. In the meantime, does anyone have anything they'd like to plug? Actually, I will kick it off. I know, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly when it's coming out, but Caldwell and I are going to be on Three Black Halflings very soon playing Paradox Perfect again. So be on the lookout for that.
Such a fun game.
Follow those guys. I'm sure it will be very, very funny. We are recording it very soon.
I would love to plug a book from Mary Costa, who did a live show poster for us. She has a book out now called Belle of the Ball. I'm going to read a little description for folks. A graphic novel about high school wallflower Belle Hawkins, who ends up in a love triangle after tutoring the girlfriend of her crush. The art looks gorgeous. If you're looking for a new graphic novel, or you've got, like kids in your life that like graphic novels, absolutely pick this up.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
Sweet. In the meantime, you can follow us on social media that we may or may not use.
We are.
The youth of the nation.
Hey, guys, we've done this a lot, right? At Steve Spurs, me, at Caldwell, at Axford, Emily, Nat, Jake, Gortz, Jake, and you can tweet about
the amazing
hashtag, NatPod, that's NADDPOD.
We are. The youth of the nation. We are. The youth of the nation.
Dungeon. dungeon, 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 dungeon.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Cutter W, Feared Al, Daniel G, Calder's twin brother, Balder, who is half an inch taller, Dungeon Mama, not sexual, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Vincent W, Victor T, aka Balnor's Boy, Hold's Friend, Justin I, Ragnar Fairdwind, TJM, Trey Lay the Cray, Christopher B, Daniel R, Jordan L, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Never Forget That Jake Forgot the Peanut M&Ms, Princess Yar, Michael L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, currently starring in the film adaptation of Ulfgar Goes Punch, Samuel B, Mike H, Alka-Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew the Druid, Haradrian, Rexthaniel the White, Captain Sigil, Diana DL, CC Lulu, Timmy R, Lucas B, Ryko, It's Kevin, Calder's Calculated Cunning Climactic Clever Crescendo Ultras Hashtag Can't Come Cold, Taylor B, The Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Steven C, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Nara, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Esme M, Hopson, Son of Hop, Foster the Boneless Duck, William W, Arin the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Riot Ryan, Hungry Dave's Frisbee Golf Bud, Ananarama, Percival Frederickstein, Von Musel, Klazowski de Rolo III, Adam the Simple Dimples, J Dragonborn, Vincent Thrumhard D, The Sandrayan, Ben A, Feldonis, Dave H, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F saying a big congrats on 5 whole years. Thank you so much. DPC is awesome. Summer Rose, aka Grant Tare. Marky Mark, the marvelous mining engineer. Cat C. Kel Slay. Misa of House in Zunza. Ariel, the occasional mermaid. Valet Sea Raptor. Be Perky Always. Pat L. SavXL. Akchutha A. Lauren H. Talia. Ryan S, The Bone Duster, Robit CRSP, Ball Business Illustrator asking for a request. I'll say Hard One, Callie, and Saul having an awkward conversation inside the duck stream. Ploops, Carly A, Lobster, Addy K, Spam Gaming the Not So Skilled Gamer, thanks Jake, or thanks Murph, Connor S, Russell H, Christopher J. Pebblepot, To the Dew Riders, My First, Never Mind We Died, I'm a Turtle Now, Salil, Jack M, Leviathan, Bioquart 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Sydney T, Jack H, Crabster Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways Towards Tomorrow, Fanderay, She-Wolf of Winter, Queen of the Bone Perch, Lady of War, Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Harry Cox, Noah the Bagel of All Things, James G, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger, Stripey, Dandy, Eric B, Marcos P, Cornt, hopes you're having an amazing day, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dayton M, Dakota JP, Frida M, Pagos, Betrothed, Self-Proclaimed Fey Prince, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, Leah C, Paige H, Maybe, Pixel Stars, Akash T, Kristen with a K, Cal, Just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes the whole thing, yes every time, Monster Hunter Neos, The Restless Spirit of Simon, Hunting Wayfarer in case the Feywild overlaps with Dreamland somehow, roll perception, Keychains Pentium 2 Processor, Lorelei the Succubus and Kyra her busty queen, Your Friendly Neighborhood Yaunt and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid, John Adams, yes like the president, Meg the Mail Carrier of Bohemia, James F, M4L, Wayfarer has now settled into their new life in the Fey Realm as a florist. What could go wrong? Andrew B, Barpo Good Barrel, Barbarian and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Mary Beth C., Melora Devotee, Three Awakened Gooses, Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Mr. D., Dana D., Sean J., Ethan B., Renee the Monster Captain, Gabrielle W., Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who will totally be directing an even cooler puppet show for the Duck Team, Winter Slade, Michaela R., Forrest H., a.k.a. Life is Like a Box of Martha Togold Sticky Buns, Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat, your boy Anthony, who moved positions and can't listen to podcasts at work anymore, Josh H., Jack R., Trogdor the Burninator, Clementine T., Caleb L., this message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag CCC, Alex R., Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian, MJ, the BFG, drinking tea by the sea, Dogs of Babel, Calvius Silverfang, Gino T., Mama Bell, the Silver Serpent herself, Funir, Dr. Tolkis, Bow Chicka Wow Wow, Derek D., Tristan G., Dungeon Bailiff Tucker, that's right, Jake, first your wife, now your job, Jazzman and Fam, the surgeons behind Pendergreen's juicy new ass, Alex K., Joshua P., Joshua Paul S., Martin T., Alexande, Linz W., Mandy K., Emma S., Red the Reforged Warforged, James, Mr. Crafty, Hammy, Beverly's Distant Cousin, Blue Drew, The Godly King, and finally, Hunter W. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon to listen to our after show over on patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to all our listeners and all of our benevolent Council of Elders. We'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.